We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It's the sale you've been waiting for. Now through Monday, get a huge 50% off the styles you need now with 50% off all jeans, 50% off all dresses, and 50% off all tees. That's right, 50% off. Jeans start at $15 for adults, $10 for kids. Want fashion in a flash? Buy online and pick up in-store for free. Hurry, the sale ends Monday at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 8/29 to 9/2. Excludes in-store clearance, jumpsuits, rompers, bubbles, active, license, and men's package tees.
You are listening to the RotoViz Radio Weekly Recap, where I, your host, find me on Twitter at FFKyleTheKid, take you on a tour through the last week in RotoViz Radio podcasting, featuring clips from some of your favorite shows. Before we get into the clips this week, I just want to remind you that if you want to support the podcast, you can do so by finding us on Patreon, patreon.com/RotoViz Radio. Subscribing to the Patreon gives you exclusive access to the community of hosts and listeners we've got going on over at Patreon, and it also gives you access to the RotoViz Live Sunday morning show, where just before kickoff, some of the hosts will hop on and break down those last-minute start sits, the news updates we get with injuries coming in, as well as some final general points of discussion before the Sunday games kick off. That is patreon.com/RotoViz Radio. You can also support the podcast by going to rotoviz.com/podcast for your exclusive listeners-only 30% discount to the RotoViz website. That includes over a dozen apps and thousands of articles per year, helping you take down fantasy championships, DFS tournaments, and all that good stuff. The first clip this week comes to you courtesy of the RotoViz flagship podcast, where Matt Friedman and Dave Caban this week are talking about Cole Beasley, one of the strangest performances of the past week. With such a blow-up spot, you know I had to get their opinion on it. Take it away.
Another wide receiver that I think really came into nowhere this week, his entire offense did, and that was Cole Beasley. 11 targets, 9 receptions, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 31 points on the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. This raises a couple of questions. One, can Beasley be a fantasy contributor going forward, and how much of an anomaly was this game? Because I have not been impressed with the Cowboys at all this season. I do believe you're a Cowboys fan, though, so you might have been a little bit more in tune with what could happen in this game than I am.
Yeah, okay, so in the road of his dynasty league, I have a team with Pete Overzet, and Beasley is on our team. I mean, it's a strong team. Beasley is on our team. We never start him. Like, you know, you can't drop him just because it's a really deep league and he has some value, but like we never start him. He's never even in consideration. And I think basically whatever type of league you're in, he's one of those guys that has to be rostered, but should never be in a starting lineup. In part just because he has, I mean, I know I'm saying this like right after he's coming off of like a 9-reception, 100-yard, 2-touchdown game, but he has like a really low ceiling, just because of the type of receiver he is and the offense in which he operates. Now, this wasn't entirely, this was surprising, but it wasn't entirely unexpected in that, you would have expected that facing Jacksonville, which this might sound weird, they have sort of like a slot funnel in their pass defense, and that they are so strong on the outside with Ramsey and Boye, and yet they are missing their starting slot corner. So they're starting like a backup slot corner. You do attack them in the middle of the field. Like, that is where you should attack them. So it's not surprising that out of all of the Dallas receivers, Beasley was heavily targeted. It's just kind of surprising that the offense was so good that he was able to get a decent number of those targets close to the end zone where he could really turn them into high leverage points. So it's surprising. It's just, it's not entirely surprising that he led the team in opportunities, but I don't think they're going to be in great situations moving forward. So he's not someone I'm really interested in.
Yeah, that's an interesting point on how the Cowboys were able to use him. Because if you just look at the points given up to wide receivers prior to this game from Beasley yesterday, OBJ had 22, Chris Hogan had 19, Sammy Watkins 14, Tyreek Hill 13, and it starts to trickle off quickly. So this was a very, very significant performance from him. But I, like you said, I think he's one of these guys that you're going to have to keep on a roster. And if you find yourself in a very tough spot, you use him. He's still not a weekly play. And I don't think we should be fooled by this performance into thinking that all of a sudden the Cowboys have a good offense.
If you're a Jags fan, it is not all doom and gloom this week after that performance by the Cowboys, as the Jaguars did acquire Cleveland running back Carlos Hyde. Through 6 weeks of the NFL season, Carlos Hyde was stunningly third in attempts per game. He had 114 attempts on the season, wasn't really used as a pass catcher, but if you drafted Hyde in the face of Nick Chubb, you got a great value, and now that value has come crashing down. This is honestly the worst case scenario for Carlos Hyde owners, unfortunately, because as soon as Leonard Fournette comes back for the Jaguars, Carlos Hyde is moved to the bench, and this week Carlos Hyde won't be playing when he was originally in a good spot against the Tampa Bay defense. Now it looks like in the absence of Leonard Fournette, we will likely get Carlos Hyde and TJ Yeldon splitting carries, with Yeldon taking over the Corey Grant role as well because Corey Grant was moved to IR, and TJ Yeldon is notably a great receiving back, making this a full-blown committee until Leonard Fournette comes back. And even then, who knows how healthy he will be. This backfield in general will be very tough to gauge in the upcoming weeks. The next clip comes to you courtesy of the RotoViz Fantasy Football Report with Blair Andrews and Hassan Rahim. This week they have on Ben Battle, and they are talking no shit, shit knows from the past week. Here it is.
Adam Thielen caught 11 of 15 targets for 123 yards and a touchdown in the Vikings' Week 6 win over the Cardinals.
No shit. Thielen had the most targets in the league heading into this week. He's had more targets than Diggs this year, obviously, and more targets than Diggs on a per-game basis every time Diggs was healthy last year. So he's hit a bit of positive TD regression this year, and he also has two more red zone targets than Diggs this year. You know, one of the knocks on Thielen last year was like, oh, he has slightly higher volume than Diggs, but Diggs is better at scoring touchdowns, so Diggs should be drafted ahead of Thielen, Diggs will break out, etc., that type of thing. But it's undeniable that Thielen is the alpha male in this offense. He's the overall wide receiver one, a steal in the third round this year. I'm happy to own quite a bit of him, and there's no reason to think that he won't continue to produce at a top five clip in the league, really. Like, Kirk just loves him. One interesting note is that Diggs slightly out-targeted Thielen the last 2 weeks, so I was thinking that maybe it might even out a little bit, that Diggs might start to take off some of those targets away from Thielen, but that really didn't happen this week. I think Thielen saw 15 targets compared to Diggs is only 5 this week. Diggs saw Patrick Peterson, so maybe that had some type of influence on it, but, you know, it just kind of, there's a signal that Diggs might even it out again, but, you know, Thielen squashed that, so.
Greg Olsen caught 4 of 7 targets for 48 yards in the Panthers' Week 6 loss to the Redskins.
Shit, no. Greg Olsen had a significant drop in efficiency last year in the limited usage he had before being injured. He did like a commentating stint during the year last year, just kind of weird. And, you know, he's 33 years old. I think he's pretty toast, to be honest. I see him on the way out. It's pretty annoying for the other pass catchers in the offense that Cam has that connection with him and still gave him 7 targets right away, but I'm not buying any form of fantasy value for Olsen. I mean, he'll be a startable tight end, potentially like, you know, a top 15, top 12 tight end, but he won't sniff that top 5 near elite usage and performance that he kind of had beforehand. You know, the injury thing's also really weird, that he was supposed to be ruled out for the season and then he's coming back, and this is also the same foot injury he had previously, so it seems like he's at a high risk given his age and the specifics of this injury for him to re-injure himself. So I'm not putting any stock in Olsen.
Christian Kirk caught 6 of 7 passes for 77 yards in Week 6 against the Vikings.
No shit. Since Week 2, Christian Kirk's had a 20% target market share to Larry Fitzgerald's 18% target market share. Rosen and Kirk definitely had a big preseason connection, and, you know, it makes sense that that connection is only going to grow since they're developing together as rookies. One thing that's cool is that Kirk has been used deep a little bit. Coming in, he profiled as a super low A-dot slot receiver, pretty much mimicking Fitzgerald's current role. But on the first play of the game against the 49ers last week, they took a 40-yard deep shot to him, and he scored like a 70-yard touchdown. So it shows that they're really trying to game plan him in different ways. He was one of the top wide receiver prospects coming into this year with a 20.1 breakout age, which is, you know, the skeleton key to success. We've written a lot about that on RotoViz. And it's definitely really exciting to see what will happen once Fitzgerald leaves.
To add to those points about Christian Kirk, that episode came out early in the week. We have since had the Thursday night Cardinals game. In that game, Larry Fitzgerald did see 7 targets, but just a measly 36 air yards, as opposed to Kirk, who saw one last target, but for 102 air yards. And another player to note would be Chad Williams here. Actually led the receivers in targets this week with 8, saw 86 air yards. On the season, Fitzgerald is still ahead in targets by 5 over Kirk, but Kirk is very close in air yards. He's just 20 air yards behind. Both are at 352 and 372, with Chad Williams lurking only 29 targets, but closing in on air yards of 322 because he has run a little bit deeper routes at 11.1 average depth of target. Coming out of this quick break, we'll have a few more clips coming to you this week.
This episode is brought to you by Decoy Wines of Sonoma, California. As you gather with family and friends this summer, experience the best of wine country with Decoy by Duckhorn. Winemaker Tyson Wolf spends every vintage focused on harvesting grapes and crafting wines from the finest vineyards. Whether it's our flagship Cabernet or crisp and refreshing Rosé, Decoy has just the wine for your discerning taste. Ask for us at your local wine shop or visit decoywines.com/celebrate to locate our wines near you. Whether you're firing up the grill, hosting an alfresco get-together, or enjoying the warm summer nights, let Decoy by Duckhorn elevate your occasion. This episode is brought to you by Decoy Wines of Sonoma, California. As you gather with family and friends this summer, experience the best of wine country with Decoy by Duckhorn. Winemaker Tyson Wolf spends every vintage focused on harvesting grapes and crafting wines from the finest vineyards. Whether it's our flagship Cabernet or crisp and refreshing Rosé, Decoy has just the wine for your discerning taste. Ask for us at your local wine shop or visit decoywines.com/celebrate to locate our wines near you. Whether you're firing up the grill, hosting an alfresco get-together, or enjoying the warm summer nights, let Decoy by Duckhorn elevate your occasion.
The next clip comes to you courtesy of RotoViz Overtime with Colm Kelly and Sean Siegel. This week they're talking about the breakout of Tyler Boyd and in a Bengals offense that has been turning heads surprisingly. Without further ado, let's get into it.
Bengals beaten at the end this week, but looking very good. Is this Dalton to Green and Boyd connection, is that going to allow Dalton to post big numbers and the Bengals to continue their playoff push?
Yeah, I thought this past week that, you know, I kind of had a situation where I thought the Bengals would really take care of the Steelers. And obviously we know what happened at the very end with the Antonio Brown touchdown to change things there. But I thought this team underperformed this past week, even though you've already mentioned with Tyler Boyd what he did. I thought AJ Green could have been a lot better. I thought Joe Mixon could have been better. And obviously we touched a couple of weeks ago on the Tyler Eifert injury. I think that is something that is going to, moving forward, help Boyd could open up for more targets in this offense. I think you mentioned Keenan Allen, and I think it's a very, very fitting kind of a comparison. He isn't somebody who's, you know, the fastest, but I would kind of call him almost like a technician, you know, in terms of his ability to separate and to get open. And even on his touchdown, I think it was the second touchdown this past week, like, it looked like a really poor play from the cornerback, but it was kind of more, I thought, where Boyd showed him that he was going to go, and then where the route ended up going, I thought that he, you know, came in and out of his break extremely well there. If you look at it in terms of his targets and his receptions over the course of the season so far, it is really balanced across the board in terms of, you know, left side of the field, right side of the field, or on the deep left, deep right, and then short over the middle. The place he hasn't getting many targets is deep middle, but in terms of what he's done with those targets then, it's been really, really positive to see. I expected him to have a solid season. I was expecting him to be, you know, possibly sneaking into the wide receiver tree bracket, but I think our evaluation has to have changed at this point. And I think at this stage, you know, if he's not in that top 24 or just outside of it, I think it would end up being a disappointing season from this point forward based on what we've seen so far. Catching AJ Green, I don't think that's going to happen. I still think AJ, as the season goes on, will put up the touchdown numbers to keep him a little bit ahead of Tyler Boyd. And I think in terms of deep play threat, in terms of the big play threat, I think AJ will always have that over Tyler Boyd as well. So I think, though, you know, where we thought Sean this offseason, when, you know, we were able to pretty much get him for free everywhere, I think he is, well, for me anyway, I don't know, I'll let you answer the question, he's exceeded my expectations at this point. Going forward, what is your final call on Tyler Boyd from this point? What would be a disappointment from this point forward? I mentioned the top 24. What would your expectations be?
I think if he falls out of the top 20 at this point, you would have to be disappointed. The situation there that you mentioned with Tyler Eifert being out and yet the defense really having to still focus on AJ Green, really still have to focus on Joe Mixon in the running game, it creates this dynamic where there's a volume there for Boyd and it's difficult for the defense to really focus on him. It's similar, I think, to what Juju Smith-Schuster has with the Steelers, where the defense has to focus on the running game and has to focus on Antonio Brown, and yet the volume is there because there are not a lot of other guys. Now, then Big Ben uses the tight ends a little bit more, but they haven't really gotten anything from James Washington. So this is the perfect situation for your fantasy receiver to have a high floor for the volume and yet really not let the defense be able to focus in on that player. So I think he's going to continue. This isn't a surprise based on what we've seen from Boyd in every year except for 2017, right? He was one of the best prospects that we've seen as a college wide receiver. And because of his size, speed, profile, and because 2017 was so bad, people tend to forget that a little bit, that he really was just an absolutely fantastic prospect, had a solid rookie season, and now has really come into his own. So I don't expect him to drop off at all from this point.
Just put a final touch on how good Tyler Boyd was in college. He broke out with 1,174 yards his freshman year at Pittsburgh University. Then going to his senior year was a bit of a disappointment, just 926 yards, but that mostly falls on the back of the fact that their offense really had to work entirely around him. He was running numerous snaps out of the Wildcat. He got 40 rush attempts that season for 349 yards. Looking at his breakout age on Player Profiler, that is a 18.8 breakout age, 92nd percentile. And then, like I mentioned before, the offense really ran through him at Pittsburgh. 86th percentile college dominator. Boyd really had all the metrics of someone who's bound to be a successful NFL receiver, and it is now showing to pan out on this surprising Bengals offense. The next and final clip comes to you courtesy of the Laying the Points podcast with Matt LaMarca and Anthony Amico. This week, they're breaking down the Jets-Vikings game. Jets are 3-point dogs at home. Here's what they have to say.
All right, Matt, you're fighting Jets. They're 3-point dogs at home to the Minnesota Vikings. 46.5 point total. Yeah, we know. I mean, are we going to be optimistic? Last week you were pro Jets. You were right.
My only win.
How do
win.
We feel this week? How do we feel this week?
I like them, Amico. I like the Jets again. The Vikings are 3-2-1, but I think they're a bit overrated. They have a Pythagorean win expectation of 2.8 and 3.2. So, you know, even if they had counted that game as a loss instead of a tie, like, they'd still be overrated. So I think that the Vikings, in particular their defense, has just not been the same team. They're just 20th in DVOA this season on defense, which was a real strength for them last year. Meanwhile, the Jets have a Pythagorean win expectation of 3.6 and 2.4. So you could make a case that they're the better team. I wouldn't do that. That number's obviously a little bit inflated by the fact that they beat the hell out of Detroit to open up the season. But their defense is good. Sam Darnold has been making some plays. And I think the fact that they're getting 3 here at home is not right. You know, like, this game should not be Minnesota -9 if it was being played in Minnesota. So I will take the home dog here, and they will be in my 5-pack for the second straight week.
I like it, Matt. I like when you're optimistic. Now, there are some injuries to look for. I mean, Robbie Anderson missed practice today. Jamal Adams, though, was full practice. You know, a bunch of their defensive guys that they didn't have last week, Buster Screen, still waiting on him to come back, did not participate today due to concussion. That was, I think, like, the big thing last week, is the injuries in the secondary, I think, really hurt them. Tremaine Johnson didn't play. So if they get those guys back, you know, I definitely think that they can play with the Vikes. I mean, the Vikings just have no interest in playing defense this year. Like, absolutely none. They have no interest in playing defense, and they have no interest in blocking for Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And, like, you know, Adam Thielen is a GOAT. Stephon Diggs is pretty good. Kyle Rudolph is pretty good. Like, they have, like, really good offensive skill players, but the O-line is terrible, and the defense is bad. So, like, those two factors, I think, you know, really hurt you against a team like the Jets, because, I mean, the Jets are frisky, man. Like, Sam Darnold can get it out there. As long as Anderson's playing, I think that he's a deep threat, and, you know, some of their other guys have made big plays this year. So I'm always down to bet a good home dog. I feel like the Jets have been better than advertised, better than expected, and it's a good spot.
Yeah, and I think Quincy Enunwa also might miss this game, but as much as I love Quincy Enunwa, like, they kind of just moved Jermaine Kearson to that role last week, and he was fine. So, like, I don't think that that's as big of a deal as if Anderson were to miss, because he, you know, is, like, their one real deep threat. I guess you could say Terrell Pryor is a deep threat, too, but he kind of just stinks, so.
He had a good game last week. Maybe he'll be in the mix.
Maybe.
The reason I chose this game as the final clip was because, I think because of what they talked about, this game has potential to hit a sneaky over. And for that reason, I like it in DFS. If you're paying up this week, Kirk Cousins is an option. And then I know Adam Thielen is on a crazy stretch of 100-yard games, but I think because of that and the fact that Stephon Diggs is coming off of a bad week and hasn't scored since week 2, the Cousins to Diggs stat could be especially profitable in DFS this week should Diggs go off, and I think Cousins is a safe play every week. And then I'm very willing to run it back with a deep threat big boomer bust guy like Robbie Anderson. Looking a little closer at Diggs, despite Thielen having a string of great weeks, Diggs still has 60 targets, 40 receptions, 3 touchdowns, all coming in the first 2 weeks. If he can get back on that scoring track, I think this could be a big week for Diggs, making him a sneaky pivot off of Adam Thielen without having to give up those sweet Kirk Cousins fantasy points. That's going to bring this episode to a close. Thanks for tuning in, and as always, make sure you check out the rotoviz.com/podcast for a 30% discount and patreon.com/rotovizradio. I have been your host, Kyle Dvorak. Find me on Twitter at FFKyleTheKid. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Decoy Wines of Sonoma, California.
As you gather with family and friends this summer, experience the best of wine country with Decoy by Duckhorn. Winemaker Tyson Wolf spends every vintage focused on harvesting grapes and crafting wines from the finest vineyards. Whether it's our flagship Cabernet or crisp and refreshing Rosé, Decoy has just the wine for your discerning taste. Ask for us at your local wine shop or visit decoywines.com/celebrate to locate our wines near you. Whether you're firing up the grill, hosting an alfresco get-together, or enjoying the warm summer nights, let Decoy by Duckhorn elevate your occasion. This episode is brought to you by Decoy Wines of Sonoma, California. As you gather with family and friends this summer, experience the best of wine country with Decoy by Duckhorn. Winemaker Tyson Wolf spends every vintage focused on harvesting grapes and crafting wines from the finest vineyards. Whether it's our flagship Cabernet or crisp and refreshing Rosé, Decoy has just the wine for your discerning taste. Ask for us at your local wine shop or visit decoywines.com/celebrate to locate our wines near you. Whether you're firing up the grill, hosting an alfresco get-together, or enjoying the warm summer nights, let Decoy by Duckhorn elevate your occasion.
It's the sale you've been waiting for. Now through Monday, get a huge 50% off the styles you need now with 50% off all jeans, 50% off all dresses, and 50% off all tees. That's right, 50% off. Jeans start at $15 for adults, $10 for kids. Want fashion in a flash? Buy online and pick up in store for free. Hurry, the sale ends Monday at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 8/29 to 9/2. Excludes in-store clearance, jumpsuits, rompers, bubbles, active, licensed, and men's package tees.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.